But I want to take you with me on a small journey to Romans chapter 14 tonight. Because that's what I heard in this afternoon. I heard 14:1. So come with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 1. And I think sometimes we take it for granted that this is something we do. But sometimes we aren't always faithful in doing it. But I'll tell you, one of the verses that is the most important out of all this is really verse 4. The second part of verse 4 says, to his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. That's the verse that really triggered into my heart. So accept him, verse 1, whose faith is weak, without passing judgment, on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Did you hear? For God has accepted him. I want to put Kim. Now you put your name in there because God has accepted each and every one of you. And we, being brought up with instructions for everything from how you wipe your nose to which hand to use when it's time to eat and not to do certain things and not to do and not to do and not to do. How many had a not to do list? Well, guess what? I don't know about you, but did you ever walk away from the table with an attitude like in your heart saying, boy, when I'm on my own, I'll do what I want. Amen? Okay. Now, I'm not alone. I had a few hands show up. So those of you who are listening to this, I just want you to know that I've got a few friends out there. And I'm not being critical of mom, and I'm not being critical of my dad or of my relatives, because many of them had a part in that. They all invested on me doing what I should be doing, but they didn't always do what they taught me to do. Do I get another amen?
Amen.
Okay. Do what I tell you, not what I do. Okay? Well, what happens? I ended up judging in my heart, finding fault, and being critical. And I didn't know the laws of reciprocity. In other words, if you throw the basketball against the wall, it's going to what? It's going to reverberate. And it's going to come back at you. My brother had an excellent word for that. He says if you are on a windy day facing the wind and you spit real hard, guess where it comes? And so if you spit in the wind, you get splat. That's my brother for you. But you know what? He's right. Because when you're finding fault with someone else, it opens the door for you to get judged and for the judgment to fall on you. And that includes every level. I've seen that in the churches, and they think it's godly. But it's not. Because St. Paul is saying, one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's, whose faith is weak, eats only veggies. It's up to him or her. It's not up to you. It's up to God to deal with them and not your job. So if you've taken on a few of these jobs, change your mind. Okay? Here we go. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God accepted him. Verse 4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? Who are you to judge someone else's servant? But we have a tendency, we want to help everybody.
Amen.
Okay? Well, I would suggest that you retire real quick. Because if you didn't, you're going to get hurt and you're going to hurt others without even meaning to. Okay? But it is God's word, you see. It's not my opinion that counts here. It's His word. But the most awesome part is that part that I told you. To His own master He stands or falls. And He will stand, for the Lord is able to make Him stand. So who are you to rely on to make Him stand? The Lord. And you know what? If you're waiting upon a perfect pastor, I've got news for you. There isn't any. We're all under construction. Oh my God. I just stepped on somebody's toes.
I just realized something. Now, as long as I'm in my upper room, I'm a good person. I'm very spiritual.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as I step out...
You found a few of these guys?
But we'll continue praying for you, Pastor.
Good. Thank you. I need the prayer. Watch again. To His own master He stands or fall, and He will stand, for the Lord is able to make Him stand. Now I want to give you a few verses to show you how serious this is. I want you to look at Isaiah 46, verse 4. Even to your old age and gray hair, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. Now I qualify, I got some gray hair. I have made you and I will carry you. Who's carrying you? He is. I will sustain you and will rescue you. That includes when you're in trouble. Now, none of you ever get in trouble, but yours truly gets into trouble quite often. Has to rely on the Lord and His faithfulness, not on mine. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Ha ha! So those of you who are fearful, there's your promise. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Here's the next part if you feel weak. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Not his left hand, his right hand. Who's sitting at his right hand? Yeah. Isn't that cool? He will sustain and strengthen you. So if you claim the promise, it's going to happen. If you go about your business and keep criticizing, guess what? Nobody's going to get strengthened and you're going to lose strength. How many know when judgment falls on you by you being critical, what happens? It falls on you and it hurts you. Romans 2 gives you that clear instruction, so you can check it out for yourself. Psalms 91:12 is kind of cool. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The angels are on the job. Now, it doesn't say go throw yourself down like a dummy. Wait, let him have complete charge. Psalms 18:35. You give me your shield of victory. There's your victory. And your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Did you hear that? When he came down into the earth, what was his purpose? To beat you up? To criticize you? To find fault with you? No. To pour out his love and to sustain you and strengthen you is his full-time work. He hasn't changed his mind. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. So who's in charge of your enemy? The Lord is. So you don't need to go around chopping up people or chopping up devils. You can go a little higher and say, God, there's garbage going on against me. Would you take care of it, please? Would you send your angels out there and do a cleanup job that I can't do because I know I won't do it right? Because I only see in part. I had to learn that way years ago. A lot of spiritual warfare is done out of the flesh, and it makes a mess. But when you trust the angels of the Lord, they're going to get instructions from who? From Papa. Say, Papa knows it all. And Papa knows how. And Papa knows when. And he knows how to heal it after the cleanup is done. Isn't that cool? One more, Exodus 19:4. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Did you hear that? Carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So in other words, he doesn't even trust us to go to him correctly. That's pretty deep, isn't it? But if you cry out and you say, Father, I'm trusting in your mercy. I'm trusting in the righteousness you've given me from a free gift from the cross, because I'm your righteous daughter. I'm your righteous son. And I know that I've done it wrong, but your righteousness is operating in me. It's not what I did that made me holy. It's what you did for me on the cross. I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
It's what he did on the cross that sets you free. It hasn't changed. Oh my God, the accuser. Anybody have an accuser that visits once in a while? Amen. Would you shut his mouth, please? Would you shut him up and declare the blood of Jesus has washed me clean? He has made me righteous. Yeah, and I accept it as a done deal. And you know what? That'll bring on a couple of more atomic bombs. Because it's by faith that you're going to get healed. Look at your neighbor, say your faith can set you free. Believing you have received and it will be done unto you. Oh, you say that's just a word to make me feel good. I don't know. It's a confession. Yes, it is. I agree. And you can go overboard. And you can satisfy every fleshy desire and ask like the Muslims for how many dozen virgins? What do they get if they killed?
70.
Huh? 70. 70? Oh, man. I don't know. I got a few Christians I'd like to... No, I'm not going to do that. Verse 5. Romans 14:5. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced of his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. And he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to whom?
The Lord.
For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, who do you judge? Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow, every before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in your brother's way. Whew. Make up your mind. Who's the job? Whose job is that to make up your mind? It's mine. I can make up my mind to not meddle in your business. Even though sometimes I'd like to just stir you up a little. Okay? And sometimes I have to stir me up a little. Don't worry, I won't get into trouble if I'm stirring me, but if I'm stirring you, I could be in trouble. Got it? Verse 14, as one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. So leave him or her alone. Got it? If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. So in other words, if you're with someone who's a vegetarian and is very severe in their way of thinking, and you're taking them out to lunch, don't offer them a hamburger. Be kind. Get yourself a veggie burger. Yeah. Do something to honor them for a change. That'll be love. Not to advertise your fried chicken. You got it? Is that clear enough? If your brother, 15, is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. In other words, he died for them as well as you. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's your whole answer. If you are totally worked into your heart that you are going to be righteous by faith, that you're going to be filled with peace and joy, all these other things will be so low on the list of problems that you won't even spend any time thinking about it or talking about it. Watch now, 18. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace, to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Don't cause someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. In other words, keep your mouth shut. You say, you're pushing my buttons. Well, I'm pushing my own. I had to get used to it, so you might as well work on it for a while. I don't want to be alone. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Oh, oh. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. So that charges you tonight to let go and let God. And work on number one. And while you're working on number one, becoming more righteous every day, becoming more loving and compassionate, you'll be building up your neighbor, and you know what? They just might end up being your friend again. You know why? Because your intercession will set them free. Your intercession will set them free. James chapter 5, pray for one another that you may be healed. So how's the healing going to go to that person without somebody interceding? I remember one time the Holy Spirit showed me a person And I mean, oh man, I said, Lord, what am I going to do with this person? I just didn't know what to do. I'll tell you why. This happened so many years ago, nobody could connect the dots. But it's when we had the prayer meetings can't even think of it. Convent. So this is back in the late 70s. We still had the store then. And I had a customer whose daughter was in love with this man and ran away and eloped and married him. She was a graduate student going for her master's and I forgot what it was, but very intelligent young lady, very, very precious to her parents, only daughter. Parents were very wealthy people, lived in Florida, came up here and decided that they were going to put a house together for this couple. And it was not an average house. And to make a long story short, I got to know the whole family and they all came to the prayer meetings. But the young man that she married had a problem with bathtubs and with showers. He just did not enjoy cleaning up. And I have a very finicky nose, and I had a problem. And this was summer, and there was no air conditioning in the little convent. And I get a phone call. Now, he's come several weeks, and they've accepted the Lord, and the young lady got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, it was an incredible victory to watch this young couple come to life in God. But he had probably 10th grade education and wanted to nothing to do with anything except for a free ride. And he was getting a free ride. And so he shows up the second time. And when he walked through the door, the aroma was enough to fill three rooms. And he asked to speak to me alone. And I had a little room upstairs. It was no bigger than my office here. And I looked at my wife and I said, pray. Because I knew I needed help. So we're going up the stairs and this is what I said. Lord Jesus, would you please adjust my nose because I can't love the odor that's happening. It is so strong. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not pushing buttons. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just telling you about what I had to live through. When he walked through the door of the room that I was going to sit with him and talk with him, he approached me and I went to reach out my arm and the smell was transformed instantly. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the absolute truth. It was like hugging a bouquet of roses. And I wept. The tears are flowing out of me. The love flow is just intense. God had not adjusted him. He adjusted me. Amen. I had a love for that young man that was so severe and so strong that he didn't smell anything but roses. And I cried for 3 days. I couldn't get over what God had capably done to this guy who had a finicky nose. What am I saying to you? You can't make that person stand up, but God can. You can't change your smell, but God can. God can change you so that you can love the guy who's unlovely or the woman that's unlovely. Now close your eyes. I don't want you to look at anybody. I want you to declare with me, God, whatever you have to do, change me. Keep me so close to yourself that all those old irritations in other people that caused me to be critical, show me how to offer them back to you and change whatever you got to do in me. I don't want to be what I was yesterday. I want a future with you and by your Holy Ghost. Every time that those who come by that I had an old stench for change it to roses for me. Because you're no respecter of persons. Whatever weakness they have, give me a heart to love them. Give me a heart to intercede for them. Until they make it to victory. For God's glory. Amen? And amen. Well, now you have a job. Love each other. Pray for one another. Healing will happen. It's automatic. But I will tell you this. The end result of that experience gave me courage to handle any problem that I couldn't handle. Because God is able. When I say God is able, because He wouldn't leave me alone. That young man called several times and God healed him. And God did a marvelous work in the two of them. I have no clue where they are today, but I know the one who started the good work, I know he'll complete it. Amen. Be blessed.